Hi, this is Bridget with Beacon Hill Times, April 10th, 2026. Esplanade Association marks 25 years in the park, by Dan Murphy. Since it was incorporated 25 years ago, the Esplanade Association, EA, has actively stewarded its namesake park, which now attracts around 4 million visitors annually. And that number is only expected to grow when the Esplanade soon becomes a year-round destination. On February 10, 2001, longtime Beacon Hill resident Linda Cox and then Back Bay resident Gerald Oristaglio formally launched EA. The organization evolved from a joint committee founded in 1997 of the Neighborhood Association of the Back Bay and the Beacon Hill Civic Association. The ad hoc group's founders first turned for guidance to Henry Lee, who had established the Friends of the Public Garden in 1970, to work in close collaboration with the City of Boston to protect, preserve, and enhance the Public Garden, Boston Common, and the Commonwealth Avenue Mall. But unlike the parks that the Friends of the Public Garden stewards with the city, the Esplanade is on state-owned land. So Cox and Oristaglio sought to establish a like-minded organization to work closely with the Department of Conservation and Recreation to help protect and preserve the Esplanade. Cox and Oristaglio were the real heroes who believed neighbors and community support could make changes at a point when the Commonwealth didn't have the funds to make repairs and create the amenities that would bring more people to this green space, said Jen Mergel, executive director of EA, during a recent phone call. They called on their friends to roll up their sleeves and show the community what we could do together. EA began as an all-volunteer effort and remained that way until 2005, when the organization made its first hire for the position of volunteer coordinator. Today, the organization comprises a team of over 16 employees. In its first year, 2001, EA raised $250,000 in donations, noted Mergel, while a quarter of a century later, the organization has raised over $30 million in park investments donations to date. All of it is thanks to the individuals, organizations, and foundations who believed in supplementing our state park with the amenities that bring people the benefits they deserve, said Mergel. In 2001, EA completed its maiden project in the park, the design and construction of Stoneman Playground, located between Fairfield Street and Massachusetts Avenue. And since this initial undertaking, EA has overseen and completed numerous other notable projects in the park, including the opening of its first universally accessible playground for all abilities last August. The $2 million Gronk Playground, made possible by a donation from four-time Super Bowl champion Rob Gronkowski via his Gronk Nation Youth Foundation, GNYF, along with additional contributions from the EA and DCR, is located in the oldest part of the Esplanade, an area of the park that was once home to the first free gym in North America, named Charles Bank by designer Frederick Law Olmsted. The site has great DNA for bringing the past forward and for bringing a next generation to the Esplanade, said Mergel. With the imminent opening of the adjacent Charles Bank campus and its year-round Smith Family Pavilion on 2 acres of underused parkland, the Esplanade is poised to become an even more popular destination in the near future. It's definitely our biggest and absolutely our most transformational project, although it's not our longest-running project, said Mergel of the estimated more than $20 million endeavor. For park visitors, the opening of the Esplanade's new Charles Bank campus will make their experience significantly more comfortable and convenient, since in the past they needed to step outside the Esplanade to use a restroom, purchase a refreshment, or even just to find respite from inclement weather, from about mid-October through mid-April. The opening of Charles Bank Campus, with capacity to host temporary murals, sculptures, and other visual installations, will allow more opportunities for the future expansion of EA's public art program. Since 2017, we've loved inviting artists to make the park more joyful and inspiring, and to make the area that may feel neglected into focal points that brighten people's day, said Mergel. Highlights of its public art program to date have included commissioning murals that transformed an overpass ramp, electrical boxes, and pump houses, i.e. structures used to regulate water drainage, from cement blocks covered with graffiti to public art installations that delight passers-by in the park and on Storrow Drive, according to EA. The group now intends to expand the mural program to the Charles Bank campus, where EA's lease allows for exhibits, said Mergel, and they are currently sharing several artists' proposals for new work with their colleagues from DCR, before presenting for review with the City of Boston. Along with recreation, education, and park stewardship, we're excited for the Charles Bank campus to also become a cultural destination, similar to how it was enjoyed across interests as in Olmsted's day, said Mergel. Besides the introduction of new visual art into the space, the Charles Bank campus will also be home to a smaller at-grade outdoor stage, which can complement the larger elevated hat shell stage to offer more frequent and impromptu performances in the park. Meanwhile, EA remains committed to protecting the park's ecology over the long term via climate-conscious initiatives, such as the launch of its Lasting Esplanade Arbor Fund, LEAF, initiative in 2019, and the publication of the first version of its climate action plan in June 2024. We have been documenting and advancing the ongoing health of the Esplanade's tree canopy through our tree management succession plan and set up LEAF so more people can support the care of 1,900 trees that are so vital, not just for the atmosphere of riverfront, but also for downtown Boston, said Mergel. And especially with the construction of the pavilion and campus, EA has remained committed to not only building and designing environmentally friendly structures, but also adhering to strict green building practices. New features like a rain garden for stormwater filtration and rain barrel for watering 40 new trees will not only be a light footprint, but also improve the health of the park, added Mergel. Asked to consider EA's countless achievements over the years, Mergel points to the restoration of the hatch shell oval lawn as one of its unsung accomplishments. In June of 2015, EA celebrated the opening of the newly restored hatch shell oval lawn, which cost an estimated $700,000, and was 100% privately funded through money raised by the group. While most visiting the hatch focus on the stage, many don't know what keeps that lawn under them green and thriving. It's like we're laying out a picnic blanket to make a nice space for people to come and have an enjoyable experience in the park, said Mergel. EA also partnered with DCR and Community Boating, Inc., a nonprofit sailing program based on the Charles River, to help rebuild its docks in 2011. 3 years later, EA reopened the revitalized Charles Elliott Memorial, located next to the community boating docks. We turned an important but overlooked memorial into a beautiful garden destination, said Mergel, noting that Elliott was a 19th century American landscape architect who was instrumental in creating the metropolitan park system of Greater Boston, including the Esplanade. Looking ahead, EA is now working in concert with DCR, the Emerald Necklace Conservancy, and the Charles Gate Alliance to advocate for designs that reclaim a pedestrian and bicycle routes between the Emerald Necklace and Charles River Esplanade, which was lost a half century ago as a result of the construction of the Bowker Overpass. In recognition of its collaborative work to reclaim this land, EA, along with the Charles Gate Alliance and Emerald Necklace Conservancy, was recently awarded the prestigious Activist Award at the 60th annual meeting of the Charles River Watershed Association. In a separate undertaking, EA is also now in the exploratory phase for the reconstruction of the stone steps leading to Commissioner's Landing, which was designed in the 1930s by venerable American landscape architect Arthur Shercliffe. Mergel noted that the steps, which she described as a character-defining feature of the landmarked Esplanade landscape, have been shut off to the public for decades, and that their reconstruction has long been championed by EA's co-founders as one of the longest-running projects in EA's history. Reflecting on all that EA has achieved in its first 25 years, Mergel chalks up the group's many successes to its strong emphasis on teamwork and collaboration. "It's really edifying to work on a great team with great people," said Mergel. "We have an exceptionally dedicated board and staff who love working with DCR. So many people have made so much happen over the years." EA has forged many meaningful partnerships over the years, Mergel noted, including those with other larger and smaller organizations. For example, the Museum of Science and Mass General Hospital in BU, and West End Museum and Hill House and Community Boating, among others, as well as with local elected officials, including Representative Jay Livingstone and City Councilor Sharon Durkin. "At the Esplanade Association, our mission is geographically specific but intentionally inclusive," said Mergel. "While we focus on 64 acres of landmarked landscape, we know we can have a much broader impact on Greater Boston and the Commonwealth by inviting more people from more places to benefit from our iconic downtown Boston riverfront. Visit https://esplanade.org/ways-to-give to support EA, or visit esplanade.org for more information on the organization. Area A1 sees 23% drop in Part 1 crime from last year, by Dan Murphy. As the first quarter of 26 was drawing to a close, Area A1 had experienced a 23% drop in Part 1 crime, i.e. incidents of violent and property crime, from last year, according to Boston Police. Between this January 1st and March 29th of this year, 389 incidents of Part 1 crime were reported in the district, which includes Beacon Hill, Chinatown, Downtown, and the North End, compared with 502 during the same time frame in 2025. This year also marked a more than 16% decrease in Part 1 crime from the district's five-year average of 464 incidents. No homicides were reported in the district this year, compared with one in 25, while the district's five-year average for this crime category was 1.6 incidents. Rapes and attempted rapes were down more than 57%, with the number dropping to 3 from 7 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 5.8 incidents. Robberies and attempted robberies dropped slightly more than 64%, as the number fell to 15 from 42 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 29.4 incidents. Incidents of domestic aggravated assault in the district remained steady, with 8 each reported both this year and last. Both 2025 and 26 saw a considerable spike from the district's five-year average for this category of 5.2 incidents, however. Incidents of non-domestic aggravated assault were up more than 16% as the number climbed to 43 from 37 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 46.2 incidents. Commercial burglaries in the district decreased around 22%, with the number falling to 11 from 29 last year, while the district's five-year average for this category was 17.6 incidents. Likewise, residential burglaries were down almost 29%, as the number fell to 10 from 14 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 9.8 incidents. Incidents of larceny from a motor vehicle decreased more than 56%, with the number falling to 17 from 39 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 46.2 incidents. Other larcenies in the district were down nearly 13%, as the number dropped to 268 from 308 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 280.8 incidents. Incidents of auto theft decreased nearly 18%, with the number falling to 14 from 17 last year. The district's five-year average for this category was 20.6 incidents. Citywide, Part 1 crime was down 5% as the number dropped to 3,379 from 3,540 incidents last year, while the five-year average for Part 1 crime across the city was 3,475. Beacon Hill Civic Association Community Corner by Beacon Hill Times staff. Upcoming meetings and events. Board of Directors, Monday, April 13th, 7 p.m. at 74 Joy Street. Save the dates. Members cruise on the Valiant. Wednesday, May 27th, 6:30 p.m. Summer evening at Otis House. Thursday, June 11th, 6 p.m. For further information on BHCA events and meetings, or to volunteer, please contact the BHCA office at 617-227-1922. Neighborhood Roundup 4/10/26 by Beacon Hill Times staff. West End Museum to offer programming in April. The West End Museum, located at 50 Staniford Street, Suite 7, on Lomasny Way, welcomes back former museum curator Dwayne Lucia to lead another Bullfinch Triangle walking tour on April 11th at 11 a.m., laid out by Charles Bullfinch, the USA's first native-born architect, on land reclaimed for Old Mill Pond. This perfect triangle of a neighborhood is full of fascinating history and beautiful architecture. Get outside while learning about this part of the West End. Former project correspondent for the Boston Globe, Tom Palmer, will embark on a deep dive into the lesser-known aspects of the Big Dig during his talk, Shining a Spotlight on the Big Dig, on April 15th at 6 p.m. He'll then be exploring project maps showing original archival footage from construction sites and more. Get outside and give back during our Thoreau Path Arbor Day cleanup on April 18th at 2 p.m. The rain date is April 19th. Hosted in partnership with WE Tree Boston and the Love Your Block Initiative, volunteers will be tidying up the park in celebration of Arbor Day. Grab your popcorn and join the museum for a film clip show and book talk with author Paul Sherman on April 22nd at 6 p.m. His recent work, Big Screen Boston, which explores Boston's role on the silver screen from Good Will Hunting to Next Stop Wonderland. More information and links to purchase tickets can be found online at www.westendmuseum.org/programs. Nichols House Museum to offer upcoming programming. The Nichols House Museum, located at 55 Mount Vernon Street, offers Slow Art Day on Saturday, April 11th, with tours at 10 and 11 a.m. and noon. Have a seat in the parlor, stop for a closer look at something that catches your eye, and feel free to share what you discover. The museum will also offer its Brahmins and Bohemians Landscape Architects Beacon Hill Walking Tour on Thursday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. Rose Standish Nichols was one of the first women to work professionally as a landscape architect, designing over 70 gardens around the United States. She was not the only landscape architect in the neighborhood. In the early 20th century, Beacon Hill was home to a number of notable designers who created well-known landscapes in New England and beyond. Enjoy a walk around Beacon Hill to meet some of Rose's contemporaries, with a particular focus on women working in the field. For more information and tickets, visit NicholsHouseMuseum.org. Randall Goosby with Zhu Wang in concert April 12th at Gardner Museum. The Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum welcomes Randall Goosby with Zhu Wang in concert on Sunday, April 12th from 1:30 to 3 p.m. at Calderwood Hall, located at 25 Evans Way. Virtuoso violinist Randall Goosby returns to the Gardner Museum with pianist Zhu Wang for an intimate recital of epic music. Two major sonatas bookend the program. Debussy's Elusive and Gorgeous Sonata is paired with Beethoven's Sunny F Major Essay in the form. The concert also includes Southland Sketches by Harry Burley, who was key in forging a quintessential American musical language, modifying the gorgeous modal inflections of spirituals with the chromatic ambiguities of Wagner's harmony. Romance by Boston's Amy Beach, the best of the Second New England School of Composers, gorgeously drinks from a similar Wagnerian well. Dvorak's Four Romantic Pieces provide a bridge between these worlds, showing how romanticism and folk traditions can be seamlessly interwoven. Tickets each cost $50 to $85. Tickets for students and children age 5 through 17 are $20 each. Senior tickets cost $45 each. Masquerade, a Gibson Soiree, coming April 15th to St. Botolph Club. Gibson House Museum will host Masquerade, a Gibson Soiree, a Victorian masquerade party and cocktail reception to benefit the museum, on Wednesday, April 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the St. Botolph Club, Boston. Masks and Edward Gorey-esque Victorian or Edwardian touches are encouraged as part of your cocktail attire. Throughout the evening, neither dark nor dreary, be sure to enjoy creative cocktails, sumptuous hors d'oeuvres, delightful piano music, and tarot card readings. All proceeds will support the preservation and operation of the Gibson House Museum. Tickets are $175 and may be purchased online at https://www.thegibsonhouse.org/museum-benefit or by sending a check with the names of your guests to the Gibson House Museum, 137 Beacon Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02116. This year's benefit will feature some notable raffle items, including a one-year membership to the Boston Athenaeum, another to the Edward Gorey House, a behind-the-scenes tour of the MFA, a gift certificate to Lavoie, and more. Further details, as well as a link to purchase raffle tickets, can be found at https://www.thegibsonhouse.org/museum-benefit. Lanterns and Luminaries fundraiser set for April 16th at Old North Church. As the nation prepares to mark the 250th anniversary of American independence, Old North Illuminated will kick off Patriots Day weekend with Lanterns and Luminaries, a special evening event on Thursday, April 16th at Old North Church in the North End. The annual fundraiser will honor Keith Lockhart, longtime conductor of the Boston Pops Orchestra, with the prestigious Third Lantern Award. This recognition celebrates individuals who exemplify the values symbolized by Old North's legendary lantern signal: leadership, courage, hope, tenacity, and active citizenship. The evening program from 7 to 9:30 p.m. at 193 Salem Street commemorates Paul Revere's famous two-if-by-sea signal of April 1775. The event will feature a small ensemble of Boston Pops musicians, festive music played on period instruments by the 18th-century style duo Tripp and Toddy, a dramatic reading of Paul Revere's Ride by Roberto Mighty, remarks from Lockhart, the presentation of the Third Lantern Award, and the lighting of the lanterns in Old North's steeple. Tickets are available for purchase in advance. For details and to register, visit www.oldnorth.com/lanterns. Swan Boat's opening day set for April 18th. Mayor Michelle Wu, the Boston Parks and Recreation Department, and the Paget family will host the first ride of the season on the Boston Swan Boats as they open at the Boston Public Garden Lagoon on Saturday, April 18th at 10 a.m. For more information, visit boston.gov/swan-boats. Okay, that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you.